Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's show. Welcome. So excited you're here. Mark Kohler here, yours truly, kicking off the show. Matt Sorensen will be joining us shortly. Just excited about our topic today. For those that have, of course, seen the title in your iTunes stream or there on Blog Talk or through the newsletter, we're going to be talking marketing, social media, do's and don'ts. Once a year, we tackle the social media. I tell you, it's the bane of your existence. Ah, social media. Do I have to do it for my business? How do I do it? Some of you avoid it entirely, even personally. Some of you love it personally, different types of social media. But we've got an expert coming today. We're going to break it down. I'm going to share my thoughts of what we try to do from our marketing perspective. Lots and lots of clients that are having success in social media and others that find it a waste of time. We're going to talk about all of it, try to break it down, try to help you find a solution to your social media woes or better social media success. That's the topic of today. But a few things I want to just give a shout out to some of you that are regular listeners to our show on while you're jogging on the treadmill. Out doing walks. I hear this from clients all the time, Mark. I listen to you every day out on the catching up on old shows and while I'm out jogging or riding my bike. Thank you. Don't give up. Keep working hard. Push another mile. You can do it. See, I mean, this is part motivation, right? While you're working out, work a little harder. And we got Matt Sorensen on the line. Whoa, Matt.
That's right. We're talking about moving to the 21st century and social media today. I figured I'd connect in via Snapchat today. Through the Periscope app also. You can just kidding. of course, you guys all know I'm not that savvy, but we got a guest today that's a little more savvy on social media, I think. And my tech skills are lacking, clearly.
Well, I mentioned earlier that you'd be joining us shortly, and I just saw you on the board here. We've had some technical challenges this morning, but glad. And Matt, you sound great compared to last week when you were on the, calling
in.
From
the bathroom stall in the Newark airport. I mean, I apologize, everybody. it was a little rough call for all of us, but
yeah. Now that's what it sounded like. We don't want you to think Matt really did call from there, but that's certainly what it sounded like. We all felt a little dirtier and grosser from it as well. also, I want to give a shout out to many of you that catch our show while you're listening after the fact. We really appreciate you catching our podcast on a regular basis. We do a weekly tax tip, a legal tip, a tax. The first half hour be very, very non-denominational. The topic for the day is usually the bottom of the hour on. So we're hoping in the first half hour we share something that's insightful that'll help you better save taxes, protect wealth, build it. So thanks for listening. Drive a little more courteously. And is that a word? Anyway, let someone in front of you. Be nice. You'll feel better on your commute home.
Yeah. So here's a little tip. Here's a little tip to show kindness to someone behind you. If you're in the drive-through somewhere, just pay for the person behind you. I had someone do that for me the other day. So I didn't even know him. They just paid for me. Like I pull up, they're like, "Oh, the person in front of you paid for you." I'm like, "Really?
Okay. Wow.
Great.
That's a nice one."
Oh,
I was going to lane driving slow, move over. I thought that's what you were going to say, which is a classic Matt Sorensen technique. If you're ever in the car with him, driving on a road trip, Oh, there'll be like nine cars behind him. He will not care. He'll just stay on his cruise control.
Okay, this is a good story. Okay, I'll be quick with this. I know people are like, "Why are you guys talking about this crap?" Mark and I are driving back from Vegas. I'm in my car with my wife. He's in his car with his wife. I'm in the fast lane, and I'm just driving. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from Mark Kohler, who I knew was behind me. And he's like, "Man, who's this idiot up there going five?" And I'm like, I look ahead of me. I'm like, I don't see anyone. I look in my rearview mirror. There's a bunch of cars. Oh, yeah. This guy's a real jerk.
Yeah. Here's the rule of thumb. If you can't find the idiot in the fast lane, it's you. So now here's the business. Okay, now moving as a transition to our tax and legal tip of the day. I had a client say this the other day. It's probably been a month or so, and I thought it was so insightful. We were talking about doing an LLC, and he was working on with some partners and some investors. This is really good, folks. Listen up. This is a good tip. We'll take it right from Matt's story driving through the desert of Vegas. This client was like, "Mark, I've got to get this LLC done, and I'm really concerned about the money I'm putting in this, and la, 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 la." And we were going through all the issues, doing some design of the LLC and the structure and trying to protect him and looking at his partners and what they were doing. And he said, "Mark, in every partnership, when there's multiple partners," he said this, "there's always someone in the deal with dumb money. They're just dumb. They're just in there for no good reason. They've just got dumb money in the deal." And he goes, "I've learned that if I can't figure out who's got the dumb money in the deal, it must be me, and I get out." So I thought that was really, really helpful. And he's like, "Yeah, I want to make sure I've got a very, very targeted approach to my partnership in this business deal, real estate deal, whatever it is, so that I'm not the dumb money at the table." So see, there's a life lesson in every story, even when Matt's driving down the road. Life lessons.
You know, you just bring it home. You just bring it home. I don't know how you do it, but you bring it home every time.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Hey, do you want to kick us off with the legal tip, Matt?
Yeah, I got one.
All right, okay.
I'm ready to throw down.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, this legal tip, you're going to be like, why would he give this legal tip? This seems like outside of his best interests. But this is your lawyer talking here, and I'm going to talk you out of a situation of setting up an LLC. A lot of people, obviously, as they're going into business, they're doing a real estate deal, one of the first things they're going to do is set up an LLC. And in a lot of states, that's not too expensive, and it's a great thing to do for asset protection, or particularly when you got partners. You guys know we talk about that a lot. We got prior shows on that. But I want to talk about a situation maybe where you're going to avoid the LLC and maybe just do something like a DBA sole proprietorship. A lot of people out there, and I run across clients, they're really just doing something on the side. They're selling something online. Maybe it's a direct marketing business. Maybe it's some basic consulting. And, the income they make is going to be $10,000 to $20,000 a year. It's a great side business for them. We love it. It's a great tax strategy. Mark and I both talk about that having a small business is just an excellent tax strategy because you can convert some of your regular expenses you may incur, cell phone, laptop, into business expenses. But you may not need an LLC. It just depends on what you're doing. And I'm going to give a quick example. My daughter's business, for example, and Mark and I are going to have our daughters on in a show in a week or two to go over helping your kids start a business. But my daughter's business, she just has a fictitious name. That's what they call it in Arizona and California. In other states, it's called a DBA. What she's doing, she sells hats online, not a lot of liability. She's actually making pretty good money, but it's less than $20,000 a year. And we're just running it through Schedule C anyways on our personal tax return. We actually run it through our family management company, which is another topic for another day. But if you have something that's on the side, that's a good little business, it's a nice source of income, it's a great opportunity for tax write-offs, don't feel like you must have an LLC for that. You may, and in a lot of states, it's not that expensive. But you can just get a DBA. Go open up a bank account in that DBA's name, use it solely for the business so it's easy to track your income and expense. But have that DBA to at least get your name reserved in your state. And as you grow up and maybe that business turns into more than just a part-time thing, the LLC, or you turn it into an S corporation and you still use a version of that name. But just think about maybe taking a two-step process. If you have something really on the side that's not too big yet, you may just want to start out with a DBA or fictitious name.
I love it, Matt. Great tip. A lot of people get, just to add to that, a lot of people get stir crazy or just think impetuous and think, I got to have an LLC if I'm going to have a business. You don't have to have an LLC. LLCs do not save taxes, and they're there for protection. So if some of you are sitting in your underwear on your computer at night selling comic books, I think you're fine. There's no liability exposure except to those people that may walk in on you. There's some liability there. They could freak out and slip and fall. Anyway, so you got to watch out for that. Now, I'm going to just say this too right now. Announcing, we're doing it next week. It's going to be next week. It's our 200th iTunes. And we've done more shows than that over the years. But to upload them and edit them and make them nice for iTunes, we're celebrating our 200th show next week. And we're going to talk about helping your children start a business, helping your family members start a business. It may be a parent. It could be a niece, a nephew, a grandchild. It could be leaving a legacy for your family. And we're going to talk about how to start a business, how to help them start a business. It's going to be an awesome show. So next.
That will be awesome. Let's do it. I love that topic too.
All right. Well, little tax tip here. And Matt, you know, the tax tip I was thinking is really in line with what you were talking about.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
So here's the tax tip, and it's really more of a business administration tip. Like Matt said, his is kind of outside the box of a legal tip, encouraging you actually not to set up a legal structure if it's not necessary. Can you believe it? Your lawyer is actually not trying to sell you something with Matt's tip. Got to hand it to my awesome partner. On my tip here, I want to call the same vein, that same process. I had a phone call yesterday with a client that was just like, he's so giddy. We charge $800 for any entity in any state, and you can talk to me, Matt, or three other attorneys in our office for at least an hour about the process, what you're setting up, why you're setting it up, how it should be coordinated, how it should function. If you need more time, we might a little extra time. We'll always disclose that in advance. You'll know it's coming. But 95% of our clients, they're in and out. $800, any entity in any state. And I got on the phone yesterday with this client, and they were just so happy to like, Mark, you're such a steal. You're so cheap. I kind of felt bad at first. And he's like, you guys are awesome. You're just helping the small business owner affordably. He had gotten quoted $2,400 for an entity setup with a guy that didn't even understand taxes. And I had a call 4 days ago with someone that had got a quote for $1,800 for an entity. Folks, please be willing to talk across the country, get on a phone, look at some screens through a web share of some sort. We can help you very affordably set up an entity. I don't want to turn this into an infomercial. That's what it's not about. But there's these two extremes out there. I had another client just yesterday. It was yesterday morning. He's like, Mark, I set up my entity in Arizona. He had two entities in Arizona. He had set them up with one sheet of paper. And he's like, I know they're not going to protect. No, I'm cutting corners. I tried to do it for $100. Hook me up. So we did our cleanup. We have a paralegal that all she does is fix my LegalZoomEntity.com service. Clean it up. And so we have this extreme where everybody's trying to do it for $100 or less, do it themselves, and it's screwed up. And then other people that are getting taken advantage of at this exorbitant rate to set up an entity, shop around, get that consultation with someone that understands tax and legal. And there's going to be filing fees, but for the actual service, you should never pay more than $1,000 for the actual service, plus maybe some filing fees, or we now have mail forwarding, hide your assets services, and registered agent services. And if you're doing a specialty IRA project, it might be $1,500, but that's it. Anyway, so without getting too salesy, be cautious out there, folks. Please know there is an affordable option, and try not to do it on your own. You don't want to be in a deposition or a lawsuit or in an audit with the IRS with just one sheet of paper. It's not going to protect you. So there you go, Matt. Kind of not the same vein as yours, you know?
I know, you know, sometimes we're just on the same page. I actually, most of the time we are, you know, so, I love it. And I, you know, we're trying to look out for you guys and, you know, be reasonable in our fees. And I think we really hit the sweet spot for most small business, private clients, you know, trying to set up their own business or just have some investment properties, some rentals. So, all right, Mark, well, we have the question of the week now, and I have the question from last week. So, we did have a winner also, and let me just run over the question that we had from last week. Now, and you got the question for this week, right, Mark?
Oh yeah, I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll. So, but you throw down last week. So I'm anxious to hear about our winner.
All right. So now the question of the week was, how much money can you gift per year and still stay within the gift tax exemption? And there's an amount the IRS says you can gift someone per year and you don't have to pay any gift tax. But if you go over this amount, you need to report it to us. And you may need to use what's called your gift tax exemption. I'll explain that in a second. Or you're going to have to file a return and pay gift tax. So we did have a winner. It was Tim Drew, who wrote in with the correct answer of $14,000. That is the annual gift tax exclusion amount. And Tim, I'll get back in touch with you. You can pick a book, either mine or Mark's, and we'll get your address to send you that copy of either one of our books out. But this is the amount, again, the IRS lets you give to any person. So if it's a husband and wife, they could each give $14,000 to one of their kids. They could each give $14,000 to their kid's spouse and to their other children or to their each of their grandkids. So this $14,000 is not just a one shot. It's per person. And so this can be used in a lot of ways. It's used by a lot of people who have large estates that want to gift money over time. They'll typically use this gift tax annual exclusion. And keep in mind, if you want to give a larger gift, let's say someone's going to give you a gift over this $14,000, they can use what's called their lifetime gift exclusion, which goes into their total amount they can gift or leave in pursuant to their estate. The current total amount for that right now is $5.45 million, so $5,450,000. They got to report that. They send in a return and say, I gave $100,000. $14,000 of that is part of the annual limit, but the other $86,000 I'm going to take off of my $5,450,000 total lifetime exclusion, and that reduces that over time. And so so $14,000 is the correct answer. Just trying to give a little more detail there on that question. And thanks for those who are participating in the question of the week. Remember, the winners get a free book. Either they pick one of mine or Mark's and send in your answers to Matt, M-A-T, or Mark, M-E-R-K, at kkoslawyers.com.
Yeah, and I just want to add a quick little example to your story or your question from last week. This was a consultation I had 2 hours ago right here in the office. A client, mother and son, were doing real estate, and they were up in the Northwest doing a couple rentals. And mom had already purchased a rental property in her name for cash. And then they were putting it into a jointly owned LLC to go out and, you know, build a pool of assets in an LLC and buy more properties together. And I had to tell him, when you deed that property into that LLC, of which your son owns 50%, what did you do? Did you just give your son a gift? And she's like, I guess you're right. I just gave him half of the property, didn't I? I said, you did. And we have to look at the fair market value of what you just gave away. And there's this gift tax consequence. And she goes, well, I got to pay taxes. I just wanted to give my son part of this rental property in an LLC so we could work together. I go, it sounds very, you know, benign. And it's just, you're just going to work on this together, but it's actually a gift. And so technically, now I'm going to give the technical and the practical. Technically, that family should file a gift tax return, use some of the exemption, and they actually wouldn't pay any tax. But practically, why is this stupid law there? This law is there to prevent the big, wealthy, multi-generational, wealthy one percenters in the world transferring money to the generation without paying tax on that gift. they're not interested in this little mother son project. She's not even worth $1 million. They got a great little thing going, but is she going to get audited and pay tax? No. Should she do the tax return? Technically, yes. But in a lot of instances, practically speaking, don't stress about this. Some accountants are going to be a little more anal about it. And in some situations, we'll tell you and give you a little CYA letter and tell you you better file the gift tax return. But we don't want to stress any of you out. This is really the target of the 5 to 1 percenters of the country that are worth $10 million or more. That's why this law is there. So there you go. Just a little practical example, man. Wonder if that helps at all.
I love it. Now, what do you got for this week, though?
Okay, so here. I'm gonna just throw it out there. I'm gonna look for the most correct answer, and you could say a yes or no, and if you're first and no one else provides any more detail than that, you could very well be the winner. But I'm gonna just throw this out to get the conversation started for next week too. The question is, can a foreigner, a non-U.S. citizen, can they own an LLC? Or an S corporation? Can a foreigner own an LLC or an S corporation? Can they own both? There is some criteria there for one of those entities, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Just think about it. If some of you know the answer off the top of your head, just guess. It could easily get you a copy of our books that you can give away in a raffle at one of your business meetings at the office. Give it as a gift to family members. If you have an answer as to whether or not a foreigner can own an LLC or an S-Corp, please send us an email or Matt, M-A-T, at kkoslawyers.com. That's the question of the week. Want to have a winner? Please participate.
That was one of my consults this morning, actually. So, God, you know, we're just giving you the real day-to-day trenches type stuff that we're hearing and that really matters to people out there starting businesses. So,
May I add that? Yeah, that's a great transitionary point to our topic for the day. Matt, I'll let you introduce our special guest, but let me make the transitionary comment to get there. And that is, we hope that many of you that are finding this podcast to be helpful from a tax and legal standpoint, tax and legal info from the trenches. What's going on daily in our consultations with clients around the country, and the little tips and the question, the open forum every month, and the topics and the guests we have. We are just so passionate about this. This is one of my funnest times of the week. I'm going to do this radio show till, you know, I can't do it anymore physically. I just love this. And it's such a wonderful thing to be going to workshops around the country and have people come up and say, Mark, I listen to your podcast every week, and I sure appreciate it. That means so much. And so I like what Matt just said there, that we're in the trenches, and what are we seeing? And on that topic, we get on many, many of our consultations, and this is where we talk about just building wealth and running your business. And clients ask all the time, what do you think of social media? What do you think of your marketing plan and strategic plan? Mark, how do you do it all? And what do you and Matt talk about when you guys have meetings? And I get those questions, and we reply, and we try to help clients build their business. And so we want to have guests like that on our show. So without any further ado, Matt, there you go. Teed it up. Take it home, baby.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark. Well, let me welcome in and introduce our guest. We're talking, of course, about social media, public relations, and we have our guest here. Now, I'm going to let her correct the name because I may just, you know, totally screw it up. But Deirdre Breckenridge is our guest today. She's the CEO of Pure Performance Communications. She's a speaker, author. Her latest book, let's see, she's got 5 books. Her latest is Social Media and Public Relations. She's beating you, Mark. And I've only got one. I'm just such a loser.
You are.
Her latest is Social Media and Public Relations, 8 New Practices for the PR Professional. And she's got a great following in social media. If you want to check her
out. She better.
She better. Yeah. You can see, go click on her different social media contacts. You can see she's got a good following. So she's obviously doing something right. I like that. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you both.
Well, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did. Deirdre. Deirdre Breckenridge.
Okay.
Well, good job, Matt. And Deirdre, yeah, when we saw your book and as a possibility of having you on the show, I was really impressed with your 122 followers on Instagram and 300 on Facebook. I thought, man, she is killing it. So,
you know. Well, you have to practice what you preach.
Yeah. We won't put you on the spot and ask for your numbers, but we report our numbers every week. We look at all our social media numbers and email list numbers every week. I'm sure that's one of your tips, but man, we are so excited to have you here. So thanks for
being. Well, thank you. And so much to talk about when you want to be social savvy, huh?
Yeah. You know, let me ask the first question here, if I may. Mark here, and you'll get to know our voices during this interview, I hope. Mark here, and I just wanted to ask, I want to get this off the table because this is a constant conversation I have with clients. And that is, Mark, sometimes I just feel like social media is a waste of time. And it's just, you know, why are you talking about it on the show? Or it's just such a time sucker. What's your response to that? I mean, I've got some thoughts, but I'd really like to hear what do you tell people I'm sure you get that complaint.
Yes. So that is one of the first things that you hear about social media. And sometimes I even think the name that it was given makes it seem like a cocktail party, which it's not. Maybe it should have been strategic digital media. But in any case, it's only a waste of time if you're out there without a purpose. If you don't have a plan, if you are not reaching your customers and important groups and building relationships. So, you know, we know the numbers around social media. I think they just announced that there's 500 million people on Instagram. There's over a billion people on Facebook, 310 million active Twitter accounts. I think that businesses would be hard-pressed to, you know, if they weren't on social media. Chances are that they're there for a reason. It could be because they're recruiting or they're looking to build stronger relationships with their customers who are there, or they want to interact with the media and build relationships. So I think you have to have purpose. That's number one. So you don't waste your time.
So now I know you talk a lot about public relations, and that's an old school topic, obviously, for those in business or politics or, I mean, for lots of different areas. But now tell us about, you just have 8 new practices for the PR professional. And tell us about some of those practices that you think are most important really for the business owner, you know, self-employed person as they're trying to build their social media, have an audience, and create sales.
So that's a really good question because when you're right, when people think of PR, sometimes I hear executives say, oh yeah, the folks who do the news releases. So it wouldn't surprise me that there are small business owners that think about public relations as, yeah, let's get those news releases out and get it to local media or however we want to distribute. But because of social media, PR has expanded. And, you know, PR is storytelling. That's what we've been known for. We are the storytellers. We are the reputation managers, and we're there to protect and maintain the reputation, especially in times of crisis. So now all of a sudden we have all these social channels that have opened up. So you can look at it as opportunity to say, okay, well, if we have a purpose, then we have a reason to share our stories through different social channels and to build a community and to get closer to our customers. So the practices really take public relations and move it forward in new ways so that you can think about not just, you know, sending out those news releases, but you're a communications organizer, that you're thinking about all different types of content through social media. You're not just a crisis manager. You're now a pre-crisis doctor because you can, through social media, listen really carefully and see things that might be negative, that might bubble up, that you can catch and neutralize quickly. You can be much more accountable to the business because you have more ways to measure how storytelling is engaging people and driving people to your website and what do they do from there. So that's where the practices just expand upon the traditional and make it that much more important to be out there telling our stories and telling them the right way.
Well, and wouldn't you say that social media is a subset of your overall public relations plan? Is that not a fair statement? I mean, you've got an overall plan to present your message, your image, your brand, your slogan, and your public relations interaction with charitable events, speaking events, media, news releases, and social media is a part of that. Is that, am
exactly.
I incorrect?
Okay. Oh, no, you are correct. So social media is not this, it doesn't live in a silo. It becomes a part of your marketing program. So when you have a small business and you decide that you're going to be, you have certain budget, right? And you know you're going to be using advertising and you're going to be out there and maybe it's, you're going to do some sponsorships around websites and you know you have your public relations efforts in play, but you also have these social communities and you're thinking of the best ways to engage with different audiences. But the one thing to remember with social media is that you have to study the culture of the different communities to understand what your community wants to do and what they want to learn and what they expect from you on Facebook, what maybe they expect from you through Twitter, what would you share that would interest them on Instagram or Pinterest. So yes, it is a part of a plan, and you really, no matter what, like all marketing, you have to do your research and you have to understand who it is you want to target and connect with and build the relationship and hopefully get them through the funnel. So at the end of the day, they are loyal customers and your advocates.
What are some tips on for people who are trying to just build an audience? You know, they're trying to get followers on Twitter, they're trying to get friends on Facebook or fans on their fan page or connections on LinkedIn or whatever medium, you know, works for them in their business. But what are some strategies to try and grow those? There's kind of tried and true methods of growing your audience. Because I think when you get to social media, you could be spending all this time getting some content out there, but if you don't got anybody following or connecting to you, I mean, it's kind of going into no man's land. So I think to be effective, you need to have a good following and kind of build that audience, find your typical consumer. But what are some of the strategies on doing that?
Okay, so number one is to always be real and be human. That is the number one way when you're building a relationship. You don't want to come off as that spammy marketer, snake oil salesman, whatever that term is, but that you're a real person, that you care, you're trying to help people. Social media is a lot like you're a peer in a community. And think less about selling and helping people, although we all know at the end of the day that some sort of a relationship will form. And I just want to give a quick example of a relationship that I built that turned into a very large piece of business for my agency years ago. I think I'm talking about 2008 when I was on Facebook. I was in a group at the time, and a woman who was in the group was asking questions about data mining. And I jumped in as a helpful resource to steer her in the right direction, to connect with some people who I thought would be good for her to learn and grow on this topic. It ended up that she was the director of IT services at one of the largest food manufacturing companies in the world. And we formed a bit of a relationship, met for coffee, and probably within 3 months we were in the contract phase and I was going through her procurement department. So, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, you have your purpose and you know why you want to be a part of these communities, but when you're real and you're helping people, they gravitate to you. And that's how you build a following. And that's where a lot of your content comes into it as well, where if you're sharing relevant information that's meaningful, it's valuable, people will take that. And if you get that into the right hands of people, maybe they have larger networks and people who trust them, then you're naturally going to become a go-to source and people will follow you and people will want to talk to you and they'll look forward to what you share.
Well, on that note of building followers, so comment on this for me if you wouldn't mind too. And then this goes back to my original question of a lot of people that are skeptical of social media and is it really worth investing in that? I loved how you said go into it with a plan. It's just like any sort of marketing strategy. If you're going to give away coupons or put up a billboard or whatever, what's the plan? Who's the target?
Right.
Why are you doing it? You know, are you going to be able to track results? All those things. But one of the things that I've discovered over the years, because over the last 5 to 8 years, I've tried to, at different levels of success, work in the different social media genres to build my audience. The one thing that I found and I heard recently was, Mark, so many people jump into social media, they start doing some posts, they get a few followers, and then 3 weeks later, they're done. Oh yeah, social media didn't do it for me. I'm done. And I was like, well, and someone said to me, Mark, any good social media plan, you've got to give it 3 months, 4 months to really let it germinate before you're going to see the results. It's not going to happen overnight. And I wondered what your take was on the timeline of that. How, if you're going to put your toe in Instagram or Etsy or in a medium that you think works for you, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook, how long should you play in that market? Give it a go. And what's the timeline from your perspective for those people that are just starting and skeptical about social media?
So I do think it takes consistency. And you also have to think about, you know, I kind of look at it as the way I would look at public relations. Here's a great example. You know, a company owner will say, well, you know, this PR thing, I know we need PR. People talk about relationship building in the media. I want to land some stories, you know, in a month. And then you kind of step back and you say, well, how long does it take to build a relationship? Some relationships take much longer than that. It's an investment of time. You might not see something for 3 months. You might not see something for 6 months, but you'll see signs along the way. So it's hard to say, listen, you got to stay in it for a month, 2 months, or 3 months. But more so, it's about the people you're meeting, the mutual value that you're seeing. Like you're going to know after a period of time that, hey, I am making some great connections here. And just like any relationship, that has to grow, but you have to commit to it. So, you know, it isn't about just getting out content in the form of tweets and you're going to do that for a week and then walk away, or you're going to, you know, do the same thing on Facebook or name any platform. It is consistency, but it's also knowing that anything you do of real value is going to take time, but recognize certain wins along the way that show signs of progress.
Hey, I want to have, can I throw this out, Matt? I want to throw this out. Yeah. You don't have to do it right now, Deirdre. I'm just going to throw it out there. One of your mantras or slogans is your small business as social media savvy as you think? Yeah. If you're up for it, I'm going to throw this out. Can you quiz me and Matt, you know, and say, hey, Matt, Mark, you think you're savvy? And just kind of
I'd love to.
and we'll give our answers, you know, and you can tell us if
fun.
We're savvy
yeah.
or not. Yeah. Can you do it? I'm just throwing this out.
Absolutely.
I mean, I wish I was like Ellen.
Are you ready for
these things? Yeah, you got some questions? Okay.
Man, I didn't even study. Crap.
Okay, so I have an immediate question for you.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so have you informed your own clients that you are on social media, and have you invited them to be there with you?
Ooh. Okay, Matt, you go first.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome.
Now, and let me add. Now you tell us what the effective way to do that is, because I would say that, of course, we have our little links to the four. We kind of do our big five. We do LinkedIn, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, Google Plus, and a little bit of Instagram. Those are kind of our five.
Okay.
So anyway, we have all those. Yeah. Well, YouTube. Yeah, I guess you'd call YouTube social media there. So you go.
Oh, yeah,
but anyway,
absolutely.
Yeah, so YouTube's huge for us. But anyway, so we have those links or those icons on our website, on our newsletter, and I guess on some of our sales material that we email out, we have always, and on our blogs, we have those links. But is there, or should you be doing more to actively invite people to participate? That's a good, I mean, when you say, have we asked our clients, I don't know if we've directly asked them to be involved, except putting those links everywhere. Could we be better at it? You, tell us.
So you can always, I mean, any, you might be doing email marketing. You, if you have a newsletter, which is perfect, you put it in. But even you could take a step further. You could be surveying your customers to say, how do you like to participate on social media? What are you doing? What would you like to, what kind of content interests you? Where are you hanging out? Those types of questions will feed your social media engine so that you know where you need to be, when, like what's the most popular time that you're on social media? Is it in the morning? Is it at lunchtime? Is it in the evening? So you're going to learn from that. And if they're asking for specific things, do you prefer tip sheets or ebooks, or do you like videos? You're going to produce more of that content. So that's social savvy.
Ooh, I like it. Okay. All right. Question
awesome.
Two.
Awesome. I got another one.
Okay. I'm ready. Throw down.
Do you let your, and I don't know how big your firm is, but this is for a question for anybody. Do you involve your employees in social media? Do they understand what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve? And are they excited and sharing on your behalf?
Wow. Absolutely not. We have got some real yahoos in our firm. So no, I'm just all the brouhahas. I would say yes. We do. I think on a regular basis in staff meeting, we encourage our staff to please make sure you're following our fan pages. You're giving us a like. And there's several employees of ours. And I don't want to call them out right now. You know who you are, that regularly comment on our, I don't want to make someone else feel bad, but I've got some employees that regularly comment on our YouTube videos. They comment on our posts and they'll take a second to comment. And I love that. So I've got other employees. They're terrible. They don't even participate. And I know they're on Facebook. They just don't want to play with us.
They're just watching.
Well, see, that's interesting because I will go into a company and the executives will sit around and I will ask the question about their employees and they'll say, well, they don't want to play with us, or I don't even think they're on social media. But you know what? Sometimes it's because people don't know how to play with you. And I say, you need to be talking to your employees. You should be having one-on-one interviews or doing some kind of a survey to get their knowledge. And then take that and let everybody know how they can help and how they can be a part of it. So they feel excited over it. Create a playbook.
Yeah, no, this is good. Here's an idea. Matt, what do you think? This is good. And Deirdre, you tell. What we should do is do an employee highlight on our social media. Take a picture of one of our employees and highlight him and go, here's one of our standout employees. Here's what they do in our firm. Here, you should get to know them.
Anything. Here's the thing about social media. You'd be surprised how interested your clients and other stakeholders are in your people. That's number one. Mm-hmm. They want to know who's behind the moniker and what goes on inside the four walls. So when you're thinking about, and this is going really, really deep into social media, but when you get rolling in social media and you know it's a part of your program and you realize the content, certain content will be shared through different channels, there's buckets of content. And there's also frequency at which we share. But one of those buckets is a culture bucket. And a lot of companies are finding that when they share what's going on the inside and it's pictures of their people at events or whether it's charity or whatever, maybe it's a client event, that type of sharing is very human. And when you're human on social media, you get more of a reaction. And, of course, your employees seeing themselves on social media will want to share with their networks as well.
Yeah. Well, I get that experience from posts that I put on social media. People like stuff that's very personal more than they do like this great blog article that's very content driven on what they may be concerned about. They like a lot of that personal side. Now on this employee thing though, I've had this question before from some of our employees, and for businesses I don't know if this comes up a lot, but this came up for me on this employee issue, is I had some employees say, well, I don't know if I want to comment and stuff on your guys' the business's stuff, because then people want to connect with me, and maybe I don't want them to know that I'm in a roller derby league or I'm a Denver Broncos fan. Or so can I create a separate account that I just use for my business stuff? And that always seemed kind of hokey to me. But, I mean, I'm sure businesses run up against this, but have you ran into that? I mean, what's the people are like, they kind of want to be a little more private personally, and they feel like their personal social media is, you know, they don't want to mix it too much with business.
No, absolutely. That comes up all of the time. So what a lot of businesses do is, you know, if they're really active on Twitter and you have an employee who has their own Twitter handle, but let's face it, they've had the Twitter handle for 5 years and they're talking about sports or they're talking about the election, whatever it is, that handle would not be as appropriate. So new handles are, and they're company handles. Maybe it's Jill at company XYZ, or it's a handle that lets people know this is Jill's account. And maybe it's not even the handle itself is not branded the company, but it's just Jill's name, her first initial and last name, and then you can visibly see that she's a part of the company. In her profile, it has that she is the vice president at XYZ company, and that is more used for business. And Jill wants to be a thought leader, or Jill's in sales. Let's face it, Jill's responsible for sales at the company, and there's a thing called social selling. Well, guess what? Before you can sell anything, you have to build your brand. So Jill's going to want these profiles that speak to business and her expertise. So I think that there is a way, and companies, they don't want employees to have their personal Facebook pages being used. Keep your personal pages private, because you just never know when that high school friend is going to pop that picture of you drinking, you know, when you were 17 or 18 before the legal age. You don't want that. So I think there's a way to set up profiles that are more business related and that makes sense for the company.
So that's not taboo. I like that. Okay.
No, it is not. There are some companies that will say, and listen, it depends on the company. If you're a really cool, hip agency and your employees have been out there.
That's us. Okay. Keep going.
Then it might make sense, because some of the news and the topics and whatever they care about might really be related. Because I'm an author and an educator, and like I'm also a speaker and a podcaster, my Twitter is D Breckenridge. I use it for work. Occasionally, you know, you'll see very human things from me, but I also use my Facebook page. I can blend because of the role that I play, but not everybody can blend that way. And I'm a consultant, so it's a lot easier to blend. You'll see my cute pictures of my dogs, but at the same time, I just did a workshop last week for PRSA, and you see pictures of that too. But businesses really have to think about this, and that should be in a policy. You know, that's a part of your playbook. So employees, because they have these questions, or sometimes they're unsure, even leaders in the company are unsure, it's almost a reason why people don't participate when there's more reason for them to participate. And guidelines and a helpful playbook that can get them excited, that's the right way to go.
I love it. Okay, I want to get an A today. So do you have another savvy question to see if Matt and I are savvy? We need you to tell us at the end of this process if we are savvy.
Kind of okay. Well,
really
here you go.
Okay.
Are you? This might be a tough one. Are you following media and influencers in your industry on social media?
Ooh.
Are you looking to see what they're talking about, what they're saying, and are you sharing what they're saying? Because you want to build a relationship with them.
I'm going to have to say I follow email wise. I want to give it my disclaimer. I follow the email newsletters of several people that are authoritative in this industry or whatever we're doing. But I have to say no. I am not following those types of people. Matt,
yeah,
are you?
I think I am a little bit. I think
good.
LinkedIn has, you know, they actually call it, I think, influencers.
Yep.
One thing that I am not active in that. I may follow and see some of their stuff they're posting, but I'm rarely resharing it. And I'm, you know, I'm not commenting on it. I think that's probably another good way to build your audience, you know, but, or engaging with them. I'm not doing that as much.
No, we failed that one.
Well, you know what, but you were honest about it. So thank you. And now, you know, anyone you're following on LinkedIn, also on Twitter, probably sharing actively, you need to start following them. And I'll just tell you a quick story. I wanted to meet somebody who was named, I think, on the Forbes list as like the number one social media business professional, probably about 5 years ago. So I wanted to meet him. So, you know, I did a number of things. I went to his blog and I started to kind of just watch the way he interacted with his community, what he wrote about. I started commenting there. I followed him on Twitter. Then I started taking his blog posts and sharing them on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And people found it really interesting. And then they started retweeting. And there was a lot of activity around this business professional, so much so that finally he reached out and he said, at Dee Breckenridge, that's my handle, mm-hmm. who are you and where are you? I want to meet you. So there's something to be said about supporting others and giving and sharing their work and showing general interest and commenting in their communities and being a part of what they do. That's how you build a relationship. So, you know, on that note, you might want to pick a handful and go out there and stalk them like I did. I'm kidding. But, you know, the more you learn about somebody and share what they're sharing, because you know what they're sharing will interest your own following, hey, it's a win-win for everybody.
I love it. Well, we probably have time for one more question in your social media savvy survey. So, oh, this is good. So you could use that.
A great question. Yeah.
Okay.
So you, if you're social savvy, then you would be looking at your Google Analytics to see where your traffic is coming from. So are you sharing content on social media channels or, you know, or whatever it is you're sharing, are you seeing where the traffic comes in from? Can you say that social media is actually driving engagement and pushing people to your website?
Good question. Okay, so I would say we're probably a C+ or B on this, because what we do is every one of our channels has its own link. So if someone wants to engage with us and download our ebook or reach out for a 15-minute free interview just to know if our services would fit for them and our pricing, we have a link on every one of our channels. And that link, we do track where those contacts come from. But I will say we are not tracking Google Analytics as much as we should. I was just talking about it earlier this week.
We've done better on that in the past and tracked website traffic, and you can see it coming from our different social media platforms. That used to be a weekly stat, Mark. I mean, that used to be a weekly thing that we actually tracked, but we got sloppy with it, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, that's a great question.
Yeah, if you can, I mean, the important thing, I always say we're social media analytics end, that's where your Google tracking begins. That behavior is so important. If you're looking at the behavior of the folks who come and visit and what they do and where they go, that's going to give you a lot of insights into what's important, of course, on your website and how you can change that so people can engage more there, but also how you can share more content that makes them excited because you can see the way that they behave on your site. So the more you can study it and use it, the better off you will be with your social media marketing and frankly, all of your marketing and your messaging.
I love it. Well, Deirdre, it's our last few minutes here. Please tell us, tell our listeners how they could follow you or listen to your podcast. How can people reach out and get more engaged with you?
Oh, well, thank you. So they can follow me on Twitter. I'm at D Breckenridge. And you can also check out my author's blog. It's DeirdreBreckenridge.com. And my company, my website is www.pureperformancecom.com. So that's how you can find me.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Deirdre. Really appreciate your insights. And giving Mark and I the social media savvy quiz, I thought that was a great idea, Mark. And again, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you. Well, it was my pleasure.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And we hope to have you back. And that I definitely need to follow you and repost a lot of your content. As we started to prepare for this show, we started following you, of course, already, I should say, and it's good stuff. So thanks, Deirdre.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, Matt, gosh, another great show in the hopper here. And we've got some final comments here that are important. So don't everybody check out right away here. Give us a couple seconds. But good show, Matt.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good takeaways there. And hopefully the social media savvy quiz, that was a good idea that Mark and I subjected ourselves to. You're thinking about that for yourselves. And social media is just, it's only becoming more and more popular. I mean, I have family members selling on social media right now, on Facebook Live, actually. This is a really cool thing. And they are doing very, very well on it. Just selling directly through Facebook Live. And just, you know, we're going to talk next week about how our kids are in business and both of our kids are using social media in their business. It's really this new medium. It's the place where people go for information now to stay connected. And it's just so important and something we all got to stay up to speed on and be active. And if we're in the business world with our own businesses or working other places, it's just a really good place to communicate, to build an audience and drive sales.
Yeah. Well, ditto. Love it. And folks, if you joined us late, let me remind you now, next week, 200th show, talking about how to help your family members start a small business. And we're going to be here every week trying to make the world a little better place, trying to do our best. And thank you so much for listening. Please share our link to the show with others in your circles, and we'll try to deliver a quality show every week and not let you down. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week live Wednesday at noon Mountain Time, or you can catch us on one of our channels there at refreshyourwealth.com.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.